Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. You're speaking with, or you're listening to, rather, the Blue Liner on Point, talking at you live from downtown Glenbury, Maryland, where we're huddling together for the impending white CRAP that's about to come down later on. And joining me, as always, is my swimmingly suitable, sexily attired, I'm assuming, co-host.
Not tonight.
The mermaid, Anna Knox.
Yes. Greetings. Well, that CRAP you were referring to, I'm all for it. Because then it would give Fairfax County a delay. But again, we live in this random portal. I swear to God, Fairfax County is either north of us or south of us, but we don't get anything. So we're all kind of hoping, you know, teachers are putting out the flush, you know, ice cubes down the toilet, put your jammies on inside out, do this. I'm like, all right.
Flush ice cubes down the toilet?
Yeah. It's like a superstitious thing to do in hopes of a snow day, usually, but also for a delay.
And that would be why Centerville, Virginia is in a portal, vortex, whatever void path of its own, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's not just Centerville. It's all of Fairfax.
All of the county.
All the teachers do this with this whole, like, putting your PJs on inside out. I'm like, if I even wear them, like, come on now. So, whatever. I'm not expecting it. And then I will be awoken with a huge smile on my face for the delay. But if not, whatever. Maybe I'll get a smile on my face for other reasons. But family show.
Possibly too much information. Possibly.
Just kidding. Well, keeping it in the holiday spirit.
Well, you could get, like, I don't know, breakfast in bed, you know, hot cocoa, something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're calling it.
So how were so how was this past week for you?
It was okay. I don't know. It was long and lots of indoor recess, so you know, you just want to love those kids and be like, I'm so grateful for you during the holidays, but sometimes I'm like, oh my God.
Not really.
Stop talking.
Yeah.
Stop talking. But overall, it was good. 5 more days.
Yeah. I wish a lot of my people I have to deal with would simply stop talking. That would make life a lot easier for me too. But yeah. So this week for me, we had our annual office party.
And so
I came down with my famous chocolate covered grapes as a kind of a potluck dessert thing. And unfortunately the party itself was Thursday. So the making of took up most of my Thursday evening. I mean, I did manage to watch the Bruins game, which took place that Wednesday night, here and there for the most part. But not all the way through as I would have liked. I missed something crucial that I really kind of wanted to see. I'll get to that later, but anyway, so grapes were a hit again. So I figured I'd perfect the recipe and try a little something different with a different type of chocolate. But you know, I practiced with it later on, and I found out that the chocolate itself that I wanted to use was a little gritty, and I don't mean the Flyers mascot. So I quickly had to scrap that idea. So, but that was, never, that was a highlight of my week.
I've never tasted these frozen grapes.
Oh, they're not frozen.
Were frozen.
Oh no, they're not. They're not frozen.
They're just chocolate covered grapes.
They're just chocolate covered. Yes.
Okay.
What I do is I wash the grapes and I melt the chocolate slowly, and then they're put in the fridge and or freezer to let the chocolate harden.
Oh.
And then we put them out at room temperature, but nothing's really frozen.
Okay. Sounds good.
One of these days I'm going to make them for you. So
that'd be nice.
Yep.
Little gift.
Little gift. Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of gifts, and I know our Christmas episode is coming up, but what does Gil have on his Christmas list this year?
Hard to say. You and I need to talk off air about something. Well, it's half joking, half serious, but I thought I was in need of an equipment upgrade. I'm not 100% so sure about that now.
Okay.
But
are you replacing me? Is it not equipment? It's a new partner. A new.
If I say it's equipment, it's not going to be. If I had a problem with you, first of all, I'd have told you. And second of all, that's not the case. Third of all, I wouldn't call you equipment.
That's true.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's definitely.
Yeah, we'll talk off air. But hypothetically, if you could give Santa a list, maybe like your top two or three, what would you want?
Well, definitely. I guess if we're talking techie stuff, which of course I'm into a lot, a new fancy schmancy new headset with a kick-ass microphone attached to it.
Nerd.
I'm
kidding. I'm kidding.
And proud of it. So it's fine with me. I don't know. I guess a couple of computer stuff, maybe some games. I don't know. Just a couple tickets, couple days off, so I can get a couple tickets to certain Caps games coming up.
Yeah.
You know what? This is as good a time as any to put this out. My friend, you know this already, but my good friend Pete Fisher is trying to organize a Western trip. The Caps head out west. I think it's mid February, somewhere between my birthday and yours. I think it's the week of my birthday. I'm not 100% sure, but it's when the Caps hit a couple of the Western stops, including, of course, the Arizona Coyotes. So that's where he's living out there now. But he's trying to organize a bunch of people to head out west and catch that game. So just putting that out there, and there'll be more about that in the coming weeks. Of course, as many as we can get out there as possible to rep the team, that'd be absolutely great. And see if I can get some time off. It's not looking too good right now because we're really short staffed at work. We'll figure something out, I guess, or try to.
Keep with the holiday spirit, Gil.
Yeah, trying to be optimistic. Trying anyway. Okay, so might as well, if there's nothing else, might as well get to the hockey. Another three games.
Yep.
One, not so good. Two, very good. And in fact, I'm more than tempted to just skip over the first one, which, of course, was the 5-2 loss to the CBJ, Columbus Blue Jackets. I mean, nothing much to see here. This was going to be, a couple of us out there kind of predicted this was going to be the letdown game after the awesome road trip, four-game sweep.
Yep.
Of the road trip, and then coming home to face, you know, the CBJ, and, you know, the Jackets were obviously more ready for this game, more up for the game than the Caps were, and it couldn't be much more obvious. You know, Jackets ended up scoring 3.5 minutes in. Got a follow-up goal 3.5 minutes later. And that was, you know, that was pretty much it. Caps tried to make a game of it, but they just, you know, really couldn't catch him. And you know, every time you turn around, the Jackets were, you know, putting the puck towards the net. And it just, you know, it just really wasn't much. Now, the great thing about this game was, of course, Nick Backstrom's return from his mysterious upper body injury, whatever the hell that was. That kept him out for 8 games, and he ended up getting a goal, his fifth of the year.
He just looks so good.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like to come back, that was fun to see. But yeah, the rest of the game sucked, and I feel bad because Robbie was there for his birthday, but they just looked, I don't know. I'm not going to say tired. Although they kind of did, but it's just not into it. Like, you know, yeah, the other team came ready to go. Caps just didn't have it in them that night, but the next two games were fantastic.
Yeah. It just wasn't, you know, sometimes it just isn't your night. And I think that's pretty much what happened to the game. So we're just going to draw a line through it. Just chalk it up to that coming back home. Not quite settled in, whatever you want to call it. It was an okay effort, but not enough. You know, one loss in five, we'll take that. So the next game, as I already mentioned, was the Wednesday night game, and it was the national game, of course, against the Bruins. And that one, a pretty damn good game. Didn't look good at the very beginning.
Correct.
But, pretty damn good game. Ended up being a 3-2 win for the Caps. The notes that I took because of the excuse I gave earlier, a little sparse, but I do have some observations that I made, including a couple of things that happened that you're probably, well, not probably, but definitely going to want to chime in on.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. But to go over the scoring summary, David Pastrnak, who has been on a tear this year, opens it up at 9:36 with a snapshot, his 26th of the year, blasts it past Holtby. That opened it up. Now, first of the things that I mentioned before would happen not long after. In fact, it was going to be, what's my note here? So 10:14 was when this thing happened. So the goal was 9:36. So we're talking, okay, 48 seconds later.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's what happened. There was a rush at the other end. Caps had a scoring chance. It got muffed and the puck cleared, and let's see here, two certain very large individuals were left behind the play.
Yep.
And in one corner,
Lurch,
the big Slovakian slammer himself, Zdeno Chara, not one to be easily messed with. And in the red corner, 6'4" of chiseled stone and B-A-double-D bad to the bone, Tom Wilson.
This was a good one. This was fun to watch.
I've never been afraid for Tom Wilson, but I was kind of hesitant at first when I saw the replay. I was like, oh God, is he really going to try and scrap with him? And then I remembered Chara is 42 years old. So
almost 42, but what is he like, 6'9" or some ridiculous height?
6'9", 250 plus. Jesus. Yeah. So I was still scared of for Tom, but I think both guys acquitted themselves very well. They both each got a couple of good rights in. Yep. To the jaw. So I would call this one a draw for the most part.
Yeah, there certainly wasn't an ass beating on either end, but no. It was nice to see, I don't know, kind of number 43, I needed to see either a goal or a fight, and I was okay with that one.
Yeah, and you know, I, it was, it's one of those things where, you know, you take the top two heavyweights and, you know, for whatever reason, they never get together. And this time they finally did. So, all, when all said and done, kind of nice to see, the, you know, pretty much the two biggest guys, the two most renowned heavyweights, as it were, finally trip the light fandango and go at it. And they, yeah, like I said, they acquitted themselves very well. I was scared, but it ended up to be an entertaining fight. So, and look, I'm only mentioning this not because it's not just because it's Tom, but also because personally, I think it was something of a turning point in the game, because looking at the highlights around then, I don't want to say the Caps were out of it, but the body language was telling me they weren't quite into it either. And I think that fight kind of, you know, minded
rallied
them.
The troops.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good way to put it. And reminded them, you know, what was at stake here, because as far as bragging rights in the Eastern Conference, this team is it. Now,
right. Well, you're
the one to beat.
When you're going up against Pasta, Jesus Christ. I mean, his stats are off the charts. And not a Bruins fan, but you got to respect the guy and his numbers. He's had a fantastic season. And but so when he kicks off and scores, what, like 344 inch at the first, this is exactly what we needed. You know, Tom Wilson's going up against their captain. You know, to get everybody's like, okay, let's get that adrenaline going. Like, come on, this is the Boston Bruins. Like, we are not going to let them come here after this, you know, spectacular record that we have against this team. And, you know, let them win. Especially when you have, you know, the Marchands that everybody hates. But I think Chara, you know, there's respect there. Like you said, he's in his 40s. Hell of a player. I know Carol's a huge fan. I still can't come to love Chara, but this was a fun fight. And I think you are spot on, Gail. I think this is what kind of, you know, turned the wheels a little bit with the team and was like, all right, let's get down to business and let's not let the Bruins have a win, especially, you know, on our home ice.
Yeah, let the fire on under some asses here.
Exactly.
We'll keep people up. And all right, so the first period pretty much rounded out with the Bruins ahead 1-0. So we move on to the second period, 4:35 in. Caps get a power play, and TJ Oshie ties the game. Amazing goal here. So mm-hmm. He starts out, flips a shot past Halak, and it hits the crossbar. And so the ref who's covering the goal cage starts doing the breaststroke. You ought to be familiar with that.
Very familiar.
Not because it's involved breasts, but because it's, it will get your mind out of the gutter, people. She's a swim coach.
Or am I?
You are. I know you are. I know you are, yeah. But what am I?
Exactly. But no, get back to this, because we cannot sell. We cannot. Sell any of his TJ Oshie performance short, because
absolutely not.
Holy shit.
I'm going to give my number some love here. And so, yeah, he flipped the shot past Halak. Referee starts waving it off like he's got mosquitoes in front of his face. And then literally a millisecond later, it comes back to Oshie, and he has the wherewithal to flip it towards the net again. And it actually goes in, and this one counted. Yeah. So that one was his 12th of the year on the power play. John Carlson with yet another assist. That's his 33rd, if you're counting.
I was going to say, is it like his 133rd at this point? Because he is, but it's all, but yeah. I will say, I did watch the Boston game, excuse me, and watch that over and over and over again with Oshie. That is skill at its best right there. Perfect place at the perfect time, but he, I don't know, it's almost like he just knew he was going to get it in, and that was it. Like, he was so determined, and I absolutely love what we see from 77 this season.
And me as well. And so if you like that one, you'll like even more what he did 3.5 minutes later when he put away the backhander to put them up 2-1. And, of course, with that, he takes us back home through those country roads to his West Virginia mountain mama. And if you're listening, hopefully you know what I'm talking about. That's his goal song.
Yes.
Now, don't ask me why. It just is. all right. So that's.
I don't know. I don't like that. I don't know. I shouldn't say that.
Well, look.
I know it's a good song, but.
I am probably the least. You'll never hear me make a case for country music at all ever.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to admit that song is kind of fun because it gets everybody. I mean, everybody knows the words. Everybody of a certain age knows the words. And the reason he picked it was he wanted to get something to, you know, get the fans on their feet, get them singing, get them active. And yeah.
Can I tell you my history with that song?
Oh, I feel a very interesting, very provocative story coming along.
A little bit. No, it's really not that exciting. So in 1998, let's go way back because I'm old, I graduated college and a girlfriend and I decided to backpack through Europe for 3 months because that's what you did in the 90s. Nowadays, it's like freaky as hell and everyone's sketchy and whatever, but this time was amazing. So we found ourselves in Germany for Oktoberfest, ironically, and we're sitting at a table in the Hofbräuhaus with these huge steins of beer, which are so, they're like three beers in one, and we stole the stein, so I still have it, which I will hand down to my children to say, hey, look, your mom was a badass back in the day. Drinking, you know, like crazy with like all of a sudden it's like when you're an American in another country and let alone another continent, you're like every American that you meet, you're like become best friends with, especially if you've been drinking. So we sat at a table with a bunch of people from Boston and Colorado. I mean, it was just like this whole plethora of Americans and they had like, you know, the band playing and whatever. And all of a sudden, the John Denver song comes on and I had only had maybe half my stein. So I was like, God, I freaking hate this song. Like really, John Denver, like, come on guys. Can't you do better than that? I will tell you by like my fourth stein. Oh, I was on the tables singing Take Me Home Country Road. Probably the most obnoxious American in the bar at the time. And I did not care. I was up on the stage with the band. It was, now I look back at the pictures and they're really embarrassing, but I will tell you that the song, the more you drink, you are, everyone is the biggest John Denver fan.
And was it an Oompa Pa band that was backing you up?
100%. And like, I mean, you name it. It was any kind of stereotype. I mean, Lederhosen and yeah, and they were all go, and then they would play this song.
Were you in Lederhosen as well?
I wasn't, because I was a college student who was backpacking through Europe, so I couldn't quite afford the dress, but I would have rocked it had I had an opportunity to.
Well, see, I would have given a Frankenstein full of beer to see all of that.
Right? Yeah, so I look at the pictures, and I'm like, what the hell? So I'm not going to show my kids those, but they can have the steins. I stole them with pride from the Hofbräuhaus and Oktoberfest in 1998. But I will tell you that song played over and over again. And even the people who don't speak English were like screaming the lyrics. And I thought, God, this way to go, John Denver. Thanks for bringing us all together with this song that is so country.
See? There you go.
I can hear it now, and I still sort of say the words when I hear the song, but I don't own any John Denver music, and that's it. In 1998, I will say, in September of 98, because they have Oktoberfest starts in September, I was a huge John Denver, Take Me Home Country Road fan for a good, let's say, 18 hours. And then I woke up ridiculously hungover and was like, fuck that song. That was stuck in my head.
Fair enough. But yeah, at least you get why it was picked and why it's a good song to get everybody involved. And that's what he had in mind. So it's all good to hear. It's all good. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so moving on in the scoring summary, unfortunately, yes, the Bruins would come to tie it up just after the start, 3 minutes into the start of the third period, Sean Corrali with a tip in. And then almost 2 minutes later, a really nice goal here. John Carlson in what would turn out to be the game winner, his 12th. Nicholas Backstrom entered the zone, faked the shot, circled the net, went behind the net, dropped it off for Carlson at the right circle, who slaps it home for his 12th, beats Halak with it, and that's that ended the game pretty much as far as the scoring. And then it was about 15 very intense minutes of, you know, good God, no, don't make a mistake, don't give up any more power plays.
And Holpe was fantastic.
Holpe was very deserving of a star this game. I don't think he got one, but...
he did. Yeah. He did. It was Carlson, Oshie, and Holpe.
Oshie, Carlson, and Holpe. But yes, you are right. He got number 3 star, which is not bad at all. So taking a look at the vitals, 30 out of 32 saved. Very good. Very good for him. 25 shots only for the good guys. Face off. Let's face off it. We stink at the dot. Power play 1-for-3. 0-for-5. PK come up big. I did it again. Did this last week. PK come up big. PK came up big again. 0-for-5. Okay, shutting man, down
Mike. Wait till we start drinking on the Christmas episode.
Yeah, really. You want to come by my cave? Onga bunga. Me bash for a good time. Yeah. Penalty minutes. This is kind of a jacked kind of a game. 13 for the Bruins, 17 for the Caps. This was a little surprising. Hits. Caps doubled up the Bruins, 40-20 on the hits. That's a little surprising to me.
It was good times there.
Yeah. It was pretty, like I said, pretty intense game. Possession giveaways for the Caps, 15 for the Bruins, and 10 takeaways for the Bruins, 12 for the Caps. So I think that gave us the edge, hopefully reflecting in the last two periods. But, yeah, I think that's what tilted the game ultimately, is because we had ultimately better possession as far as the numbers go and the style of play, I think. Was reflected in that. So, pretty good all in all. A solid puck possession game, which is a hallmark of the Caps, and they played it to a T. And obviously they kept the physical game up. And when those two are going, when they have good puck movement plus the hitting is intense and solid, like chocolate on my grapes, then you really got something there. By the way, I won third place in the dessert contest.
There you go.
Not bad if I do say so myself.
There you go. There you go.
Okay. All right. So moving on to the final game of the week. And this, of course, was the beginning of the annual dad's trip. So we'll mention a little bit more about that later.
You did see or didn't see?
Oh, this one I definitely saw.
Okay, good. This was a good one.
Oh, this was a hell of a good one. Last night's game at the Amalie Arena in Tampa Bay. Now, there's a common theme here. So even though the Caps pulled this off and did it in dramatic fashion, they had a pretty damn good third period. If you watched the first two periods, you may not have thought that this was – that it was going to come out that way as well. Okay. Put it this way. Look, I am no expert as it comes, but I have watched, I would estimate, over at least 2,500 games in my life. So I like to think I know something about how the game of ice hockey should be played. I've got some advice here.
Do tell.
Step number one. If you want to win, step number one, stop taking penalties. Step number two, stop taking penalties. Okay. Step number three, stop taking penalties. Step number four, stop taking penalties. Step number five, stop taking penalties. And step six, repeat steps one through five.
And to add into that, shoot the puck.
Yeah.
There's a couple of moments where I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah,
shoot
the
fucking puck.
Well, stop. I mean, if you don't take penalties, if you don't
the
take
penalties are ridiculous.
Don't give up power plays. So, I mean, what do you think? A little out of the box thinking there, right?
Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
Thank you. But okay. So instead of a scoring summary, which there wasn't much of the first two periods, we're going to go over the penalty summary in the first two periods. Now let's see. Okay. So, first power play was given up by the Lightning, an interference call against Hagelin. Then Backstrom trips Ryan McDonough. Then Stamkos high sticks Jacob Vrana. Okay. And then comes the parade to the penalty box. Let's see. 1:32 in the second, Kempney roughing. 4 minutes later, Backstrom. Nick Backstrom, he flips the puck over the glass. And I love Backstrom, but when he did that, when he flipped the puck off, I wanted to flip something off because I couldn't believe he did that. I'm not going to say. Okay. And then 3 minutes later, after killing that one off, Alex Ovechkin trips Victor Hedman. And somewhere in the Amalie Arena when that happened, I thought you could hear somebody go, "Timber!"
No shit.
Because Hedman's so tall. And then 9 minutes later, Oshie, what's with the tripping calls?
Exactly.
He gets called for tripping and Caps give up yet another power play. All in all, five power plays handed to the Lightning, even though they're not having such a great year. Still a dangerous power play unit. They were lucky to only give up one because Ilya Samsonov
was
so damn great in this game. Faced 28 shots, only gave up two.
Yeah, I think this is something that he needed for himself, regardless of his dad being in the stands and his first NHL game. Tears when he started to talk about that, but excuse me. I think the fans needed to see this too, and how capable he is. And God, did he ever just rock it? He looked so good, so good. So I hats off to him. Go see Emmy.
Absolutely, absolutely, and yeah. So the scores were Backstrom, Eller, Hathaway with his fifth, Oshie again. If there's a number one star for the week, I'd put him there, at least for the Caps. And then
you can't.
Yeah, but you can. You can and you can't.
No, but I mean, because Tommy.
Well, okay, I was getting to that. And then what's the name of the Nats killer? Sean Doolittle. Like the ace closer that he is, Tom Wilson slams the door on it with his 12th of the year, the empty netter, making it 5-2, finally putting the nail in the coffin for that game.
But it was his what of the year?
His 12th.
Okay. But of a career? It was Tommy's 69th.
Oh, that's right. It what? Oh, good God. You beat me to the joke again. I made a mental note of that.
I know. You're not the only one. I got a lot of messages yesterday where they're like, 69. I was like, trust me. I know. And I'm proud. So proud. So yeah, go Tommy. Go Tommy. Number 69.
Go indeed. Awesome. Yeah, when it comes to the three stars of the game, of course, you got to give it up to Samsonov, 26 stops on 28 shots, like we said. Lars Eller got the second star, and Alex Killorn got the third one of the Lightning. But a great game all around, except for, you know, they have to stop feeding the kitty cats the X-Lax bars in their food, because if you do that, they can't stay out of the box, and neither can the Caps. I keep saying it. And one of these days is going to bite them in the patootie if they don't stop that. And it's careless. Look, we went over the list of penalties in the second. It's careless and, you know, emotional penalties, you know, roughing, puck over glass, you know, tripping.
The tripping is, that's the one that kills me because it's so blatant. Like, come on. Like, you know, tripping, hooking, it's like, give me a break. It's like, you know better. And it's just, you know, that competitive streak just gets the best of you in those moments. And then you're like, damn it, off to the sin bin. But I agree. That was the weakness of the game. 100%. I mean, especially, you got the dads and mentors watching. So,
well, okay. So, but you're a teacher, and so, and you're also a coach. So,
yes,
you see your charges get out of line and start doing stuff that they know they're not supposed to be doing. How do you handle that? How do you crack down on that?
Oh, they get the super serious. I'm disappointed in the choices that you've made. And I won't tolerate it. So therefore, moving forward, I expect better of you. So how that's in the classroom. You know, when one of my students decides to do, you know, a spit wad or something on the inside I'm laughing at, but I have to really pretend like, oh, that's so inappropriate. As a coach, same thing. It's like, hey, listen, we don't come into this facility, into this pool, and give 100% in practice to be prepared for the games for you to do something stupid or careless or half-assed as da-da-da-da-da. So you better believe Todd Reardon, who I've been impressed with lately, is going to chew their asses out for that one. Because it's like, come on, it's a given. Like, you're gonna put your stick out and hook and trip and whatever. There's your instant karma. There's your instant consequence. You're in the sin bin, and more than likely their team's gonna score. So I hope he just rips into them. But you have to do, and then you have to play that like kind of parental, but I'm disappointed in your choices, because that's what really gets to them.
Fair enough. But right? That's so you kind of sounds like you kind of give them a stern guilt trip.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Because it is their fault. I mean, there isn't any, like, you chose to do this and this is what happened and here's the consequences and the other team scored, if that's what happened. But if not, it's just increased, you know, penalty minutes, and that's not a good thing. So, you know, I know you can do better. I've seen you do better. I've seen you play games without being in the sin bin. So I'm disappointed in the choices that you made. That's why I'm Teacher of the Year.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's all how you present it. You know, you can be, I have to be calm with my students, or I could like set off a total World War III. But when if I'm on the pool deck and I'm coaching, a little bit more harsh, a little bit louder, a little bit more I am not okay with the choices that you made. A little more firm. But I still think that whole, you know, disappointing because that puts it on them. And so you're not making a blanket statement coming out like, we can't have these, you know, stupid penalties anymore, you guys. No, it's like specifically, hey, you know, Oshie, Kuzi, whomever was Ovechkin. Calm out. They'll get it.
True enough. True enough. And if you spoke about being firm, well, you're good at well, you know what? I'm not going to go there. Sorry.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I'm like, wait a sec. Where was that joke going to go?
You don't want to know.
Okay. All right.
What? And if we had a premium, service, a pay service, people curious enough to want to do that, we could listen there. But
maybe like, don't have- here's the link to hear the rest of the story.
Yeah, maybe someday. Who knows?
Well, we get huge, right? So that's it. So, all right, you gonna call the next games?
Well, no, not well. I will, but I just want to throw in something quick here. Just remember something.
Okay.
As I said, this was the start of the dad's trip, and I'm sure you caught this, but there was that kick-ass interview with Alan May and Garnet Hathaway and his dad John. It's making the runs in Caps fandom social media, and it's like, you know, I don't say this often, but it's the shit. It really was. And the reason I bring it up now, I mean, normally I would say I love the dad's trip. I love how they get to go, and hopefully, I mean, if management is listening, they also down the road will do a mom's trip, because yes, some of the teams do that as well. And I think the moms deserve some time with their sons as well. Go on the road with them and enjoy what life as an NHL player is like. So I would hope somewhere down the road that's, you know, in the plan. So if you're listening, Caps management, hint, hint, you heard it here first, you know, make this a thing, please.
Because I think that Hathaway,
but that Hathaway interview, that was absolutely great. I mean, you can find it anywhere if you follow any Caps fan that you love. I'm sure they've got it posted or hidden away somewhere. If not, you know, just ask and we'll post it on our page. But it was absolutely glorious what John was saying about, you know, the whole, and look, it restored my faith in hockey and what it's all about. Because, you know, not to get too deep into it, but there have been certain things that have gone on in the hockey world that look, there's just not to be, doesn't make us very proud, and frankly gives the sport a black eye. But I mean, honestly, it makes me love the sport all over again. Restores my faith in the fact that it doesn't matter who plays. It doesn't matter how you get into it. Doesn't matter where you come from. Like Mr. John Hathaway said, we are all a community, and it restores my faith in that, the sport being just that and meant to be that. So
exactly.
To Mr. John Hathaway, I want to publicly thank you for not only restoring my faith, but for showing the world, not just the hockey world, but the whole world, what the game is all about, what the game is really all about, and not
well, what
not
it's about as a supportive parent or mentor, and not some, you know, crazed helicopter parent on the sideline that's, you know, cussing their kid out and yelling at the coaches and making the player absolutely miserable when their parents are in the stands. Regardless of the sport, I mean, I've seen it on the swim deck, and it's cringeworthy. But any sport that you have a parent that just takes it to a level it doesn't need to go to, and they're living vicariously through their child because they never made the varsity whatever team, is frustrating and disappointing and disgusting, in my opinion. So for him to come out and have a very, you know, easygoing manner about himself, and, you know, he's got, I mean, his son is, you know, dropping the gloves and playing a physical game, but he respects Garnett's, you know, how he plays, and he's not there to judge. And he's so, yeah, bringing faith back to the sport. He was great.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And basically the only thing I can add to that is pretty much what you said. You see what kind of man, not just man, player, but man also is Garnett Hathaway. And so you see where he's gotten from, where he learned his values from.
Yes.
So, pretty much just exactly what Anna said. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what good parenting will get you.
Just that kind of act.
Character. Yes, exactly. Okay, so we're coming to the end here. I'm going to give a quick preview of the upcoming week. We are approaching Christmas, of course. So let's see. It is now Sunday the 15th as we are recording this. Next game is tomorrow night at Nationwide Arena. Once again, another game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Hopefully they'll get revenge on that game. And then they have 3 days off, and they're stay on the road over to New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And a quick little side note about that. I don't know if anyone listening has heard of Jillian Fisher. She's a social yes. media hockey commentator. She was dancing with the New Jersey mascot, and as I understand it, it was a late or early evening wedding that yeah. she had. She got married, so she can now answer the question, have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Oh, so, I'm sure that's exactly what she was thinking.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. Congratulations to her, though. Her dress was amazing. She looked beautiful. She's hilarious. And how awesome to have. I don't care what mascot it is. If you're passionate about sports and they make it to your wedding or birthday or whatever, hell yeah.
Absolutely. And the last game of the week, unfortunately, is a back-to-back after that game. And it's the reverse of, we talked about it this last week, that the schedule maker is on some sort of medication that is adversely affecting their mental faculties somehow. Because it's the reverse of this past Saturday, where we're hosting the Lightning now.
Yep.
7 o'clock puck drop at Capital One. And then a Christmas week schedule, but we'll get into that next week on that episode, that very special episode, which we have something planned, but we're not sure yet. As is always, Anna and I like to give our very best on that episode to you, the Caps fan, as our gift to you.
Yes.
And we're going to do it. Just... We're also going to do it to you, for you, not to you, but for you.
Show.
Yeah, that too. okay. So, all right. And just one last bit note here. Going to give out the contact information. I can be reached at my personal email, glhallowed@yahoo.com. Of course, you can also post on the Facebook homepage. I'm also reachable at Twitter. That's at BLULINER98. That's at BLULINER98 on Twitter. And, of course, if you're a friend, Anna, or myself, you can also DM one of us at or via the Facebook page. Anna, where can you be reached as well, other than the Sports on the Hill show? recording tomorrow.
That will be tomorrow. Yes, our Facebook page, always on DM and on Twitter. I am at AKnox49. And at Instagram, which I'm on all the time, at Aquanox49. And that's the best ways to get a hold of me.
There you go. And as we said, she is also live for the first half hour of the Sports on the Hill podcast, which drops every Monday evening on Facebook Live, as well as the True Radio Network. for she is the key figure on the first half hour segment, Caps Talk. That stars Robbie Gross and Carol Porter III, as I said, every Monday evening via True Radio Network and Facebook Live. Be sure to catch her then, as well as the rest of the show as they talk about all things DC sports. And if there's nothing else, that'll do it.
That's it.
That's it from you. Okay, fair enough. All right, so thus we have come to another end of the Power Play Point podcast, episode number 119. 19 especially appropriate given Backstrom's return. Welcome, Backstrom. Thanks to you. So with that, for Ananox, this is the Blue Lunder on Point signing off and reminding you that my son once asked me what our IP address was. I didn't have to answer. All I did was point to the toilet.
Oh.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.